The Pledge of Allegiance, led by Councilmember Leland, who's not there. So, how about you, Councilmember Bell?
All right. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out tonight. I appreciate your time. First item on the agenda is the public hearing number one for Vigilante West Subdivision, the application and resolution of intent to consider annexations. We'll listen to Zoning Officer Faddis on this in regard to this.
It's all right with you. Can I just do the presentation for all from the subdivision annexation and zoning all at once?
I'm good with it.
That work?
Yes, sir.
Just get it knocked out. Missing.
We just have to have different hear the public, but it's fine.
Huh?
You just do your part.
Okay, sounds good. So the first item will be the subdivision staff report. Then we'll talk about the annexation resolution and attempt to annex, and then the zoning, pre-zoning for the property. So the first item is the staff report for the subdivision. I'm not going to read the staff report. As you noted, it's about 50 pages long, so I'm going to try to summarize just certain things. So out of this, and then I'm available for questions if anybody has any questions. This public hearing and discussion by the City Councils for the Vigilante West major subdivision. The application is for a 29-lot subdivision located just west of the Vigilante subdivision at the end of Plant Road. It's for subdividing 10 acres, approximately 10 acres, into 26 single-family residential lots, two open space lots, and one utility lot for a proposed stormwater pond. Let's see. The applicant is proposing to construct three new roads within the subdivision to access the proposed lots. Those would be the extension of Lizzie Street from the Vigilante subdivision, a newer street, Beverly Avenue and Worley Avenue. Plant Road would also be extended along the south boundary to provide access to the subdivision from the south. We reviewed, or there is a part of this, the property is encumbered by a floodplain on the west side. The applicant has received a conditional letter of map revision approval from FEMA. They did it kind of in conjunction with their map amendment with for Vigilante subdivision in order to get phase three final plat. They get them kind of together. So this is kind of an extension of that, but they do have a conditional letter of map revision approval from FEMA to amend the floodplain. The open space lots essentially would have the new floodplain. So none of the proposed residential lots would be located in the new floodplain. Prior to final plat, they'll be required to get the letter of map revision approved by FEMA before they can final plat the subdivision. The subdivision will create about 273 trips per day. That will access either Lizzie Street through Vigilante Subdivision or Plant Road. Primary access will be used by Plant Road, but Tree Rise Road is a secondary access for the Vigilante Subdivision, so it's anticipated some traffic may be to the right road. Cash in the applicant is proposing cash in lieu of parkland dedication. As you remember, with Vigilante Subdivision, they did dedicate parkland within the Vigilante Subdivision. For this development, they are proposing to pay cash in lieu in lieu of dedicating actual land. That value at this point, based on the appraisal in the application, is about $11,000. They would be required to do a new appraisal prior to final plat that would set the final value for that cash in lieu. And then that cash in lieu can be used to pay for improvements to the parkland in Vigilante Subdivision. So it's kind of a neighborhood park, if you will. Let's see. Water and sewer would be from water and sewer main extensions off of the existing water and sewer mains that were developed with the Vigilante Subdivision. All lots would have water and sewer from City East Helena. All streets would be designed to East Helena engineering standards, which is a 40-foot top back curb width, 7-foot boulevards, 5-foot sidewalks, both sides. That's most of the summary. We have reviewed the primary criteria required by Montana Code. The analysis is in the staff report. With the proposed conditions of approval, any impacts that the subdivision can be mitigated. And so we are recommending approval of the subdivision with the conditions, 24 conditions. I will the planning board did hold a public hearing on this in December. We did not have any public comments at that meeting. One planning board member did mention that the DNRC map showed a ditch running through the property. And so we did add a condition of approval. Planning board requested to add a condition of approval to verify that there are no active irrigation ditches through the property, and if so, to ensure that those are abandoned prior to final plat. So we have that condition per planning board recommendation. And we have not received any written public comment on this subdivision application at this time. I don't know if Amy has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, actually,
we have
one today.
We have one from Mr. Jensen.
So I haven't seen that on that, so I
council members have it in front of them.
The next item is the annexation resolution of intent. So the subdivision is located outside of the city limits. Therefore, we have to do a resolution of intent to annex as part of the subdivision process. We reviewed this in conjunction with the subdivision application. And in conjunction with the subdivision application, we developed several conditions that will be required prior to annexation to the city. And this is the same thing that was done with Vigilante the subdivision. So pretty much the same conditions of the annexation that Vigilante had. But I'll run through those just really quickly. They'll be required to extend the plant road right of way along the south boundary. That property is owned by the city. So they would just work with the city. They actually already have the survey drafted and ready to go. It just needs to be finalized. We've actually reviewed it already, and I think it's pretty much ready to go to the call. Plant road will be required to be approved from where it ends at Sarah Avenue to the west. To their west access point, which would also require a boulevard and sidewalks on both sides of Plant Road to that west access in the new subdivision. Lizzie Street would also have to be improved from its intersection with Sarah Avenue to the boundary of the subdivision, and then they'll improve the rest of it in the subdivision. Let's see. And then the other ones are pretty much the resolution or the RSID waivers for the various different items, such as water and wastewater improvements or stormwater facility maintenance, road access maintenance and construction. Let's see the other one. Street lights, and then parks and playgrounds and pedestrian facilities, as well as sidewalks and trails. And then the last one is the floodplain permit. The LOMAR, basically, for amending that map is also a requirement of the annexation before they annex into the city. Then the final piece is the zoning. So also as part of the subdivision application and the annexation, we need to zone the property. So we've put together a quick staff report, a memo, on the proposed zoning. The applicant proposes the property in the residential district, so no special zoning or anything proposed for this. Just like Vigilante subdivision, there's proposing this to be single family residential with residential zoning district. And so we've prepared a basically just the ordinance to pre-zone that to residential district. So, short and sweet. so that we can get to the discussion.
At this point, I'd ask for any public comment regarding the subdivision application and residential intent to consider annexation. You may have
comment. You also have one that I submitted in writing. So you put both of these together, so I'm going to try to condense them. With regards to Dave Jensen, 401 West Gale, with regards to the Vigilante West subdivision being considered for annexation, I'm not in favor nor against the proposed subdivision being annexed into the city limits, but if the annexation of this land occurs, the impact fees that includes water and wastewater sewer at a minimum needs to be assessed in their entirety, and verbiage that to that effect be included in any future agreements with the developer due to the fact that the current wastewater treatment plant located off Plant Road is in the beginning stages of being expanded, where the expansion contract alternative selected along with the consultant management services contract task order costs, both were excessively high, but were both approved by the city council and the mayor to become an East Valley wastewater treatment plant rather than just a treatment plant that services only the current residents of East Helena. With regards to the Vigilante West subdivision zone map amendment ordinance being considered for approval, I'm not in favor nor against the approval of the zone map ordinance amendment, but if the amendment is approved, then impact fees that are included, or that includes water and wastewater sewer at a minimum, needs to be assessed in their entirety, and verbiage to that effect be included in any future agreements with the developer due to the fact that the current wastewater treatment plant located off Plant Road is in the beginning stages of being expanded, where the expansion contract alternative selected along with the consultant management services contract task order costs were both excessively high, but were both approved by the city council and mayor to become an East Valley wastewater treatment plant rather than just a treatment plant that services only current residents of East Elm.
Thank you for public comment. Is there any further public comment regarding the Vigilante West subdivision application and resolution of intent to consider annexation? Seeing no public comment, I will turn this over to the council. Questions, comments, discussion.
One of the comments that was pulled out that's not in the staff recommendations is the dead end of Lizzie Street and the concern of it dead ending. And the only recommendation I may have is that that's put in, and because there's open space there as it is, that that's put in as some type of roundabout to meet standards of for the fire department because of that dead end. I don't know if I'm out of line thinking that, but I saw that as a one of the comments.
I did see that. I mean, that was one of the engineering comments from the city engineer. I didn't put that in the condition specifically because I felt that was something that we deal with at engineering review.
Okay.
To meet engineering standard requirements, and we already have conditions saying they have to meet, you know, the city's engineering standard requirements for, you know, dead ends and all that stuff. So. It would likely classify not as a route, or I think you meant cul-de-sac.
Probably. I'm sorry, not a roundabout, but a cul-de-sac.
You know, it's a T intersection, so we probably treat it as a T turnaround.
Okay.
You know, where we'd have a little chunk going to the west, and then end that with some curb and the sidewalk. So you can use that as a T turnaround. That's probably how. But I wanted to leave a little bit of flexibility there for the applicant to work with the engineer or city engineer on how best to accomplish that.
So we have an opportunity to still update that without changing the
correct.
It would be part of the annexation request.
And I had a quick question about the cash in lieu of a park. So if they give $11,000, does that come back to the city to put the park in then, or okay?
So that money comes. Is paid a final plat to the city of East Helena.
Okay.
And it has to go, I mean, there's statute requirements on how that money can be spent.
Sure.
It basically has to be spent in a way that benefits the people within that subdivision.
Okay.
So I think in this case, it's pretty clear we have parkland within Vigilante subdivision that can easily be utilized for improvements.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. I'd rather have one big nice park than two not great parks. So I will move to approve. I get my verbiage correct here. I will move to approve the resolution to intent
to consider.
Are we doing all three? Or are we doing one at a time?
We're going to do these one at a time.
Yeah, we're going to do subdivision. Your subdivision should be one motion.
Right.
The annexation resolution should be one.
With two, we have the
Just his motions.
Okay, yeah,
we should approve those three.
The first one would be like the consideration of annexation. That's all. We only have two action items on the agenda. So I have a resolution or I have a motion to approve the.
Approve, I guess you'd be one motion that says approve the subdivision application
right.
with the 24 conditions recommended.
So
the annexation resolution intent.
So the first one, I move to approve the Vigilante West subdivision application resolution of intent to consider annexation, including staff conditions to final adoption of ordinance of annexation.
I have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
That would have been a lot of words, Wes.
It was a lot of words. Sorry, couldn't. Amy.
Yeah. Secondarily, we have a, I'll open it up to public comment on the zoning map amendment ordinance. Is there any public comment on the zoning map amendment?
I thought you were doing them together, so I put them both together.
And that's fine.
I
just,
for the record, I did.
I let Jeremy do them together because of the up downs, but we'll save you the up downs too, Dave. Seeing no public comment, council.
I'll move to approve the Vigilante West subdivision zone map amendment ordinance.
With conditions?
With the conditions. With the conditions. Final adoption ordinance of annexation.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. At this point, I'll open it up to public comment on all non-agenda items. We have a pretty packed agenda tonight, guys, so I'll kind of limit to 4 minutes. This is a period of time where we'll hear the public on any non-agenda items. If you have any public comment on non-agenda items, now is the time. Is there any public comment on non-agenda items? Anybody online? Anything? Seeing no public comment? Okay. All right. Seeing no public comment on non-agenda items. We'll move on. Next on the agenda is the approval of minutes from the December 17th meeting. Council, in front of you, you have the minutes from the December 17th, 2024 meeting. Is there any public comment on those minutes? Seeing none. Council.
Motion to accept.
I have a motion to accept the minutes as presented. And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Brings us to departmental reports. First up, as always, is Amy.
Doxo as an option for payment up on our website now. I haven't really advertised it, and people are finding it already. We have the credit card option, but there's a fee associated with that. If you go to Doxo through the link on our website, you can pick ACH Bank Draft for free, and you want to pay that right away. I think a lot of the time when people opt not to sign up for ACH Bill Pay, it's because once you're signed up, you're signed up. So if they use the doc, so they can do it an ACH one time and not be committed after that. It's first of the year, so we're getting a lot of business license and dog license renewals. Kind of a winter lull for building permits. I expect they'll pick back up in the spring. We did receive from Habitat for Humanity subdivision fees for Rose Hill subdivision. So they're getting moving on that. And that's all I've got unless you have questions.
Thank you, Amy. Next up is Chief Sanders.
Everybody, happy New Year. We were busy again in December. We had 480 calls for service. I didn't break down the higher volumes of call this time. I just wanted to bring up the partner family member assault that we had on December 20th that ended up turning into a barricaded subject, armed and whatnot. But I just wanted to make a comment that it was great teamwork between the law enforcement agencies here in the area. SWAT team came out, ended up being a 7-hour standoff. And shows that we all together bring things to safety. No very long case reports in December. During 2023 to 2024, we had a significant increase for calls for service. And 2023, we wrote 275 base reports. And before we wrote 321, which is about a 17% increase. For our calls for service in 2023, we had about 2,600 last year. This year, we had about 4,500, which is about a 73% increase. So, and just a reminder that we've had new officers off for about 4 months this year as well. So this department's been we got some good news last week. A call from the Montana Law Enforcement Academy, and Zach probably was bumped up to start the academy in January instead of waiting till April. So great news, and he will finish in mid-April as well. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Chief. Next up's Kev.
Okay, so just a couple of quick things to talk about. We all met with Habitat for Humanity, along with Dorothy Whitney out of Missoula, in regards to bonding options for that upper pressure zone. Meeting went really, really well. The best thing that came out of the meeting is they completely understood that we are not willing to pledge the revolving fund to secure that bond, that they're going to have to work with local lenders and other sources to secure the bond. The next step with that is we're going to reach out to prickly pear developers, have the same just kind of one-on-one meeting. And then once we do that, get them all down into the same room and just let them hash out what questions they have and stuff. But so far, that's going well. Working with the school district, kind of a positive thing for the lifeguarding. You know, the thing that multiple cities, towns, and Boulder, us, we always struggle with is finding that certified lifeguard trainer to train the lifeguards. Sounds like possibly the swim coach at the high school is willing to take that role on and certify what they need for lifeguard stuff and do the city staff at the same time. So we're working through that. Lead and copper sampers came back. We're fine still, of course. The biggest thing now is we will see if we get bumped back to the every 2 year sampling cycle, which we hope, because every 6 months is a lot and it's an additional cost. So keep it posted there. But everybody came back non-detects, so no issues there. And then lastly, other than what's in my report stuff, the school district did offer to give us their old electronic scoreboard from East Valley Middle School, which Kelly and I thought was great. And then when we went to pick it up, we found out the reason they were willing to give it to us is it's damaged. So we're getting an estimate on what it would cost to repair the broken glass. If it's something that we're interested in, then we'll move ahead with that. But at this point, YesCo took it and is getting us an estimate. But we appreciate the relationship with the school district and, you know, that what's going well. So any questions?
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, y'all.
Is Roger available? Roger is excused. Okay, next up on unfinished business is the East Clark Street Sewer District Interlocal Agreement. I'll turn it over to City Attorney Pilgrim on this one. We've been working hard with Mr. Murdo, who I believe is also here.
What you have before you is a reinstatement agreement that captures the concerns from the council and some of the issues we had moving forward and getting them back into a place of good standing. You'll see, let's just see, we talked about the rates had changed in the period between when they reinstating this one. So on page 2, part 3, you see the rates. I apologize for sending out that initial rate, but this is after engineers review. This is keeps them in compliance with the math we did initially in assessing their price per gallon. Essentially, we determine how many EDUs they have. 107. Kevin, correct me if I messed this up, but generally 107 EDUs. They take a how much gallonage each one of those creates and divided our rate by that gallonage and then took that and times it by 107. Generally, they should be paying the same as all the residents. And then you see the step up that, again, each one of our residents, our ratepayers will be paying over the period that our current rates are in place. You also have part 4. On page 3, top of page 3, just talks about the reserve capacities remaining the same. It's intended to serve those initial 107 sewer connections and service lines that are in place and were constructed in 2017, and that those that have already been approved and allocated would not be subject to the system development fees that we created after committing to these this project that they've already constructed and connected much of. And then finally, part five, that they can come back to the city and ask for additional growth within their district. But in doing so, they would need additional reserve capacity because that 24,000 gallons a day is for those 107 connections. And then that would be at the council's approval. Bob, unless I missed anything pertinent.
I think the other thing, if I may, Chairman, was the system development fee.
Oh, would be subject on any additional connections beyond the 107. Yeah. But anything that we've already previously agreed, they're good to go. They're paying for their project, and we didn't have those fees in place when we signed this thing. But anything above and beyond that would be subject to the system development fees. Which are available on our website and are around 3,000 of connection right now.
All right. Is there any public comment on the proposed interlocal agreement?
That wasn't distributed to the public before the meeting, so it's impossible for the public to comment on that. It wasn't in the packet. But it sounds like you've addressed the development fees and increase in the rate. So I would be in favor of increasing the rate and making sure that the development fees are applied anything over above the 107.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment? Go ahead.
Natural Resources, who is the holder of the bonds issued by the East Clark Street Sewer District, and they've asked me to work with your city attorney to try and keep this interlocal agreement in place. And what we've come up with here is really along the lines of what we originally started with. As I understand it, since June of this year, the district has been current on all their payments. And I can't say that the district has taken any position on this same document right now, because I think they just got it on Sunday or Monday. And I talked to Heath Mason, the president of the district, and he said he has a copy of it, and that was about all I got further from that. But this is, I think, a good effort to try and just rejuvenate that original interlocal agreement. And be glad to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment? Seeing none, council. And just for reference, this would, if we were to approve this or not approve it, or whatever, if we were to approve it, it would go to them, to their board, and they would have to approve it as well. Am I understanding correct, Pete?
That way or vice versa.
Whoever wants to do it first.
So, yeah. If we wanted to table it so Mr. Jensen could read it, and give them time to review it, it would be fine too.
It's your purview. I think it's a good effort, and I think that
did we ask for public comment?
Yeah,
we have two people write it.
Oh, sorry. I knew he provided, I was thinking anyway. I do have a couple of questions. If our rates change differently for current residents, should we have to do something? Currently, we're looking at it on an annual basis, if I'm not mistaken, our current water rates.
So, per our agreement, mm-hmm. our initial agreement, which we're reinstating with this, we just have to go through that. Need to mail them a letter and follow the same process I do for our normal ratepayers.
Okay. If there are more than 107 connections, as we know, that has been kind of a loose figure.
So the determination of what that was is when they built and constructed the project, they actually put all of the service lines in most of those connections. So they did the mains and the service lines. So they are stubs underneath the residences out there that aren't connected, but the our total gallonage, they are tapped, they are in. That's why I was somewhat careful in the language that they're not, the service lines are in, but they may not be connected. But that's why the map is important, because we do know where the lines are. We know where they're at. We know on the last page here, the 107, kind of where those are out there. So it's not above 107. It's just that because we were only charging per gallon, the reason we went charging per gallon is because we didn't know when they were going to actually hook those up. So whether we knew if somebody was underneath the trailer hooking it up unbeknownst to us or not, it didn't really matter because they're going to pay for the gallonage that came from that residence anyway. This is just...
So I didn't get to finish my question.
No, sorry.
My question was, if we go over 107...
Yes.
Because they have always... It has been a questionable number to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
How are we to know that, and what are the consequences for that?
So,
because it's a legitimate fear, knowing that we have not been 100% certain of the number of connections.
The map is important for that. So right. Now we know where the lines are.
Okay.
And in order to put new connections in that aren't on this map, the assumption is that we'd hopefully notice the digging. We know generally where they are. Would like to put more connections potentially in the future. So generally big heavy equipment, and that in places where they may want to put extra houses.
There are no consequences is what you're saying.
Oh no, we would be
legal. Legal. So yeah. That would be the consequence. Yeah, thank you. So that's what I was getting at. What is the consequence?
Yeah.
So because I that is a legitimate concern.
Right.
And I get the verification is a little different too, because they're not in the city limits. There's also a little bit of a different where it's located. They're not all visible all the time.
So we have under our city code, like proper connections to the sewer system, that the reason I offered some detail on the connections is because in prior council meetings, it was not clear to me what we meant when we said people connecting, unknowns to the city. What they were connecting were sewer lines, service lines that we knew were out there. Some folks knew were out there, but what those are service lines that are in that weren't connected to the residences. They were not going out and putting new taps on the mains and digging up the ground to do that. They didn't have to. They were already in. So that hasn't been happening. So I frankly don't think that's that big of a concern, because we notice when they pull stuff in and out of there. I mean, this thing is encircled by the city and right on Highway 12. We're going to notice.
And I have one more question, I think. Nope. All good.
I've got one on the EDUs that are here. We've got two properties that have more EDUs, or stub outs, I should say, than EDUs that we're collecting. On using number 19 and number 16.
Let's get one started. I believe that's due to the type of properties and connections that are there. So well, EDU.
That's what I was wondering. But yeah. I don't, you know, we never see anything on what is connected.
So generally under the law, they need to be assessed appropriately to the benefit they receive, which is some cities do that by the size of the water lines going in and out of a, like you can think of like a one bedroom apartment. It's generally a dwelling unit that you expect a typical family, 2.7 folks, and creates as much gallonage. That was the engineering that went into determining the number of EDUs that put into these properties. But as to the specifics on that lot, I don't know, and we need to be sure.
There's some of the things that are not considered single family dwelling. There's like an auto body shop in there and other things that I think are not. And the EDUs on those are less than the standard EDUs on a, say, a single family dwelling.
Could be, but
that's what the people that engineer this sewer tell me.
On that, I would make a motion to accept the new interlocal agreement or the updated.
I motion to approve the interlocal agreement as presented.
I, prior to that, I respect the what work has been done, but I do think because this was not public, and it looks like there are some property owners possibly on here that it wasn't.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, public comment was up there. It was not. I didn't.
It was more of a question.
Okay.
Terry was wondering
Sure, let's
about getting a copy of the draft, but she's also wondering if Pesha is checked for stubs.
The math and the map and the stub ups are all come from Petra, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all the stuff comes from Petra.
To the level of certainty that we can have.
Right.
We believe there's these 107 and there's no more there.
So with respect to that, I have a different motion to table.
I have to have this motion first. So just like,
you can die
for that. Like, die for lack of faith. Yep, you can do that. Totally.
You do it?
Okay.
I would just like to. Would like to make a motion to table until next meeting, so that there is more time for the public to review this, and especially because just as I was reading the questions as they came up, and Mr. Jensen's comments as well, just so that there is some time for the public. Not that I disagree, and I appreciate the work, but I do think that it should have some light to it.
I have a motion to table.
I'll second then.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Means I rescinded, I should second.
Thanks, guys. All right, that brings us to new business. First on the new business is the Christmas Convoy update. Laura Mosier is here. It's pretty cool at first, I don't know.
Say my name again.
Yeah,
sure. Okay, Laura Mosier, out of Rustler's Fork in Clancy. Wanting to give an update for the Christmas convoy from this last December. We go ahead and play our video first.
Hey, thank you, Gabby. Oh my God.
We all got to see the convoy this year. Everybody got real.
I see your hockey logo. We had hockey that weekend out of town. So make sure next year that it's different.
I understand that. The feedback has been absolutely outstanding. We received two negative comments, which are super horrible. One was that they went too fast. We had East Helena Sheriff's Department lined up to lead the convoy. Unfortunately, we did not think about the stoplights on Canyon Ferry. And so we actually also had Montana Highway Patrol. We had two of their vehicles as well. And so we had to adjust where the police officers were in the convoy to allow the convoy to go through the stoplights without cars getting in between that. So we did get that comment. I do have a tractor lined up for next year to be our pace car if we are allowed to do it again. The other one was that there was no fire trucks involved. Unfortunately, West Valley pulled out about an hour before it started due to needing to serve the community. So if those are our two worst comments, I will happily take them. Couple things we learned from this one is we definitely will need traffic control. Coming out of Helena Sand and Gravel on Wiley, cars were just coming, driving. We saw about four or five accidents almost happen because vehicles are trying to pass the convoy as cars are coming in. So we will need to figure out a better way to block traffic as the road. The main roads in East Helena off of 287 Lane, East Main, South Montana, 1st Street, and 4th and Main need to block those off a little bit better. It wasn't horrible. We just want to make sure that everybody stays safe and cars are not getting backed up on 287. So that will be something that, again, if approved to do it again next year, we will work with the city more on that. Tried to get Lewis and Clark involved to help because they are part of the route. Unfortunately, we were not able to get calls back from them to get help from that. So those are some things that we'll have to look at this year. We are going to collect donations, gifts for the drivers. We would like to be able to donate to something within the East Helena community. I know last year when I talked about it, we wanted to donate to the East Helena Rodeo Grounds. Unfortunately, with some changes, we did not do any fundraising at all this year. So unfortunately, we didn't give anything to them. We are gonna have a new staging location, Helena Sand and Gravel off of Lake Helena. Dodge has said that that would be a better starting location for us. So it's going to be on the same route, just a different starting location. If we were to do it again, I would like to talk about dates. I don't know if we continue to do the second weekend in December. Have to look at the hockey schedule. Or if you would like to change it so it's on the same weekend as the East Helena Christmas Stroll. To have that just a full weekend of Christmas cheer in East Helena. So that is open to discussion, but just would like to get your blessing for another Christmas convoy.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on the Christmas convoy update and request? Seeing none, council. Oh, did you guys hear anything about it?
We got any of it next year.
Did you guys hear anything about
it? We heard a lot about it, yeah.
You did not play Kelly's favorite song, though.
Yeah, there was no C.W. McCall on that.
I know, I'm sorry. I will let Kevin, my Fly Big Sky, donated his time.
Sure.
The video great. For, so I will make sure that he plays it on the next one.
He gets some C.W. McCall.
We did have 39 trucks this last year, and I have those confirmed as well as about 25 more. So that would be another thing we'd have to discuss with the city is if we are going to limit the amount of trucks.
I mean, I think as long as it's, I mean, it's, it was not a problem for the city at all.
Okay.
Anything we had, we had no issues to correct, Chief. I mean, I did hear some public say maybe you drive them down residential streets and go down Gale, right, Dave? Send them down Gale. You sure they don't want to? I mean, you know, you wouldn't even have to leave your house. You get Christmas cheer. No, you get some Christmas cheer right there. That'll be fun. But yeah, the people really enjoyed it. So I think, you know, just as far as the city's concerned, we can always work with the details, but if you don't really have an official, I would probably just, you have an official like request regarding dates and times and stuff. I would come with more of that, but okay. I, I think I speak for everyone here when I don't like doing that too much, but everybody really enjoyed it. We were big fans. And more CW McCall or any other, you know, Rubber Duck. I mean, any trucker talk, I'm in.
Thank you.
So with that being said, I counsel you one of this table until she does have a real proposal, like with the dates and some, you know, you can always talk to us, maybe work with whatever you want. We're open to that.
Okay.
But I would just run board, just to, let's have some more specifics on the request, right?
I'll probably plan around you for that.
Sure. Yeah, we got a lot of time.
Okay.
Do we want to just deny it for now then so that doesn't continue to be?
Yeah,
I like that. Not denying.
I like that.
So I don't know if I want to make the motion. I don't want it to be shown that I'm denying the convoy. But and comment wise, otherwise, since it was turned,
you can die for lack of motion.
Okay, I've let that happen. is only positive comments, and what a great opportunity for you all, the Trucking Association, as well as for East Helena. It was a really great for the community. So thank you for putting it together.
Is that a big 10-4 there?
That's a big 10-4.
Sure.
Seeing no motion, move on. Yeah, that brings us to new business number two, which is the personnel policy update. I spoke to you guys about this before. This is the request to amend the personnel policy as it shows on there. We did receive one public comment. You guys have in front of you regarding Mr. Jensen's comments to address some of his concerns. The state does have the floating holiday now, so that is something the state does. And the state does not do Juneteenth. It is a federal thing. And the, you know, if you guys want to hear, that's up to you. I think it's a progressive thing we do, and it's probably coming for all of us. And we just are ahead of the game there. But the state currently, or the city currently has Juneteenth, and I'm in favor of keeping that. But that's the request in front of you. Is there any public comment regarding the personnel policy request to add the floating holiday and remove the general election day?
Can you read it in the record?
I don't think you have to. We have it. They have it in front of them, but it's up to you.
Then they'll read it.
Yeah.
As long as I just make a note that Dave Jensen, 401 West Gale, one of my written comments, and it, I'll correct it.
Absolutely. Any further public comment? Seeing none, council.
I think aligning our calendar with the state calendar is good, and Juneteenth, I'm sure, will be coming as a state holiday soon enough. And so I move to approve the policy.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
That brings us to new business number three. Town pump. My favorite topic. Right, Kevin?
You like it.
Uh-huh. So as we all know, town pump is a large new building, and they put a roll-off trash compactor in their building without properly reading the city code. It is a very efficient way for them to remove trash. However, we don't possess the equipment to haul roll-offs off or services. Per the city code, we could not, I mean, we could force them to have how many, you think, gallon cans do you think it would be?
Whitehall was up to 30.
Whitehall was up to 30, and that was then they were emptying them how often?
4 to 5 times a week.
4 to 5 times a week. 30 black trash cans, big ones, emptied 4 times a week is not very efficient for us. So I guess the solution that we've been working on internally is how do we allow them to get their garbage handled and the way the machine they bought for how much was it? I don't know, like $60,000. They're a lot, and the machine they bought, and still encapsulate the lost revenue to the city. So, if you look here, there's a, I would call it a, what do you call this, Kev? A deviation from the garbage ordinance to allow them to deviate, similar to what we did with the Valley Bank, only there was on a much smaller scale. And then we would charge an administrative fee. We went back and forth on the administrative fee. Whitehall doing the billing through their city as well. And we kind of have been, this is the kind of a test case of the one we saw. Important for us to capture the, at least the lost revenue from the previous town pump. So it's going to be in accordance with that amount and make taking into account the time to administer that billing. So that's where we're at with that administrative fee. We want to make sure that although we won't be doing the servicing of it, we would capture the money that we lost to the city and in their allowing of them to have this deviation from our city code. That handled pretty good, Kev. That's a lot of words for nothing. You want anything else? Okay. You're on here, not me, but I think I handled it. So that being said, is there any public comment regarding the town pump deviation from the garbage ordinance?
I guess it's one clarification. Say Jensen 401 West Gale. There was not enough. I'm just going to go off of what was in the packet. There was not enough information provided so the public could make an informed comment with regards to what the administrative fee would be with that, with what that cost, what the administrative fee was for the offset. I think the mayor clarified that. The city administrative personal billing process time and annual billed amount to offset some of the fixed cost expenditures, such as the garbage truck replacement and maintenance costs required by the fund. In addition, why is the Town Pump Corporation allowed to constantly and consistently not follow the East Town of the City ordinances without any consequences to their actions and pass the cost of those actions onto the average East Town resident to pay? If the deviation request is approved by the City Council, then the Town Pump Corporation should be required to pay an annual ordinance deviation amount to help offset future costs based on the number of garbage containers that the new Town Pump facility would have required if the Town Pump followed the current city ordinance. A reasonable estimate would be based on three times the number of 300-gallon containers that have been consistently overfilled for years at the Town Pump Conoco location on the east end of town. Since that has more activity than the original one, I recommend that you use the stuff at the Town Pump Conoco and multiply it. I was being reasonable, it's three times, but that would be probably closer to four times based on what the Public Works Director indicated earlier. And also attached a photo of what those overfilled 300-gallon containers have been overfilled consistently over the years. If you look at that photo, you'd be kind of pleasantly surprised, pleasantly not surprised, of how much the annual tonnage that they've been getting away with and not paying for.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment? Council?
What is the fee?
I think the previous administrative fee, it hasn't been established yet. So what we're... I think that we want to be in line with the previous town pump, which was around $500 a month.
And we have the ability to increase that as necessary when other costs may go
up. If there was a garbage, I mean, it would be a year-to-year thing, wouldn't it?
I'd like to see a final. I'd like to see a cost on here before we do action on it.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Like we totally table it. Yes, we got to do it. We'd have to kind of have proposal of what we want to do for the number based on the numbers. We didn't really set the number yet. We just want to make sure we were encapsulating all the costs, which we haven't really established yet because we haven't got a bill from yet and seen how they haven't dumped yet. So yeah. Until they dump yet, we don't really know. It's kind of hard what the amount is. So here's the thing. We're trying to play the game with that. We don't know the amount of garbage they're producing right yet. So it's kind of complicated. And we haven't been able to get Chance hasn't given us the tonnage yet. So we don't know. This is why
I'd like to wait until.
Sure.
But we're still charging them their current fee for that we would normally charge.
Well, as we're not servicing this garbage right now.
Okay.
We're not charging them anything. We're trying to establish that.
So we're not charging them anything, but we're also not collecting anything currently.
No. Yeah. If you're not charging them, you're not going to collect. That's kind of why I wanted to get something on the books here. I understand.
The Tri-County amount is strictly just a pass-through through us. Whatever they're charged, whatever Tri-County charges is what we're charging plus the fee.
That would be the intent, correct, Wes.
And I would also think that this new place will make, because of size difference and location we'll be making, if the other place used 5 buckets, this one's probably going to use at least double that amount.
I think that's highly likely.
Yeah.
We were trying to get
I don't know how many they use.
To put a number in there, I felt it was important to get some accurate numbers to base it off of, which we have not gotten yet. But we wanted to get some on the books because they're currently paying nothing.
And the other location isn't producing any garbage that they're tearing apart
right now? They're producing a lot of garbage right now.
But we're not collecting any of
them. They have Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're still going.
Yeah.
We're still going to build mm-hmm. location.
And are they is the amount of garbage reasonable, or are they doing what like the photos indicate and have
no,
they're
so really they, the current tenants not reduced to a 90 gallon can.
Oh, okay.
The average
mm-hmm.
So
okay.
But it's filling it been adjusted in.
Okay.
Right.
I didn't know if through the construction they were producing an exorbitant no, amount
they,
of trash
they,
or something.
They got a okay.
There's some construction waste that we, you know, that they can handle in their own way.
Okay.
Gas tanks, I think, have to go to certain
spots. Well, yeah, that I yeah. would hope to God it's not put in our trash cans.
Damn it in there. Tabling makes sense. I mean, we just need to establish. I mean, you may sit for a minute on this one because we get some numbers. That's the issue.
I would think by our next meeting, we should have some numbers. Would hope.
Won't people have anything to February?
Yeah, we try to get them. We've actively been trying to get them.
Right I'm now. Okay with that because I don't want numbers out there that they're so low that we're subsidizing them for. You know, failure to ask permission and ask forgiveness instead.
Yeah, I think that's why we.
So we're not setting an amount as far as Tri-County goes. For Tri-County, you'll just fill up the tonnage and we'll bill them. It'll just be the admin fee on top of that. So at no point will we ever be compensating them for garbage, if that makes sense.
And what's the admin fee in Whitehall? Do you know?
I don't know. I just know that they offset their revenue loss accordingly.
They've been very vague about getting that number to us. I don't know if they don't know or they don't know how it's established. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten it. They make sure that they cover what they lost. Yeah, the admin fee will be assessed using numbers that matter and are facts. We haven't got those yet. And that's why we're just. That's why we left that admin fee as admin fee blank, but we want to make sure we are encapsulating all the money that Town Pump would be using to use our services.
So tonnage, the way you're looking at it right now is tonnage will be tonnage to them, no matter the tonnage. So it's right. Just the admin fee that is still up in the air.
If we see the amount of tonnage, we can extrapolate the amount of garbage cans that would right. be used and thus use the some numbers to reasonably assess the administrative fee.
I would like to wait.
Sure.
I'm making a motion to table this.
I have a motion to table.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next up is the Star of David window agreement. It's on the tables for you all. It's very basic. We've discussed this previously and it is just a very basic and general agreement to allow the Montana Jewish Project to house and display one of our Star of David windows. And this just makes sure that we have a agreement in place saying, you know, how long they get it, our process for getting it there, getting it back, and, you know, covering our bases legally for this being displayed there. You want to speak to it, Kev?
Yeah, it was intentionally... kind of open-ended. Starting today, they have the ability to take possession of it. The Public Works Department will take it over there. They're pretty delicate, so we'll have our guys transport it there and back. Either party can give written notice, and within 30 days can get the window back, or they can return it. There's a couple, I don't know where they want to keep it, so I didn't have the address. I didn't know which window. There's a couple different sizes, so it sounds like Kevin, the smaller one is the one, so we'll just pull some measurements. And then finally, whatever date they want to take it, we'll put that date in there. And then I just put the executive director for the Montana Jewish Project on here. Rebecca Stanfell is the signator, and Kelly, the mayor, Mr. Harris, as the lender, the city. That's that.
Very basic agreement. It would be at the, whether their headquarters.
And then I think we'll probably attach kind of just the write-up we have for it to see an actual picture of it.
I have it as well. And they would like to make a sign and display that some of that provenance with it.
Right.
Any public comment regarding the Star of David loan agreement? Seeing none, council.
Well, I appreciate the work going into this, and I think it's a cool opportunity, and glad that it was brought up and glad we got to go visit with them. And
super cool.
I'm really excited for this. The address is 515 North Ewing.
That's
where Temple Emmanuel is.
Yeah.
515 North Ewing Street. So I'll move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second.
And a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, we'll get this over to them and make sure they can run it through their people as well to sign it, and then people will be able to see and enjoy Star David winner, which just seems pretty cool. Marriage reports. The marriage has been holidaying, which is, I think, important this time of year. There's a lot of holidaying going on. Not a whole lot to really report, to be frank. There's just not much been going on internally. We've had some discussions regarding water rights that are coming. One thing I did do is me and Kevin went to the county commissioners meeting, and during the time they approved the purchase of the new snowplow, and we thanked them profusely just for being a good partner and just working with us. Kind of funny to go there and see the numbers they talk about, and we're trying to buy their 1999 International snowplow with 130 some thousand miles, and they're like, yeah, this is not part of anything. But it means the world to us, and I think it'll be a great way to service our community better. So that will happen on Thursday. Tomorrow we're going to get it. Really excited about that. So that was kind of all the commissioners said to pass along, that they really appreciate the collaborative efforts of this council and with the county. So it was a really positive experience from Kevin to anybody up there. Just really was a positive experience. So that's basically, other than holiday stuff, that's what I've done. No questions. All right. Council member reports. Council member Dahl.
Had the zoning meeting for pre-zoning application for Vigilante West. Zoning commission said yes. Approved it. Other than that, I don't have anything.
All right.
Recommended approval, not.
Recommended approval.
Get my wording right.
Councilmember Leland is excused. Councilmember Feist.
Just thanks to Suzanne and to Jenny and to everybody getting the Christmas party organized. Much appreciated. And hopefully staff enjoyed it and appreciate that they were able to come as well. Second, the only other thing I have is I visited with Senator Dunwell about the water rights letters. She was asking about it as well. So thanks to Amy, she got me those taken out of the council packet so I could just send those two letters. She just had some questions and wanted to know what she could do to help support Estona. So
Gary Oakland returns next week. He would like to be involved in that process.
Okay.
Thank you, Councilmember Feist. Councilmember Ferguson.
Went to the zoning meeting with Dawn. Got derailed a couple times, but it was kind of fun. That's it.
All right. That brings us to Pete, legal report.
Court's been going good. The assistant counsel is spun up and will take over those responsibilities tomorrow morning. Still be doing the administrative stuff and worked out a kind of system with the police department. Some loose ends, but things are good. Depending on your question, that's kind of what I got.
Right. Well, I don't know how we're going to conquer this without Judy, but we do have to pay the bills.
That's why she left.
We might have to table that. I don't know.
What
do you got?
Under Petro, the traffic calming.
Yeah, I wonder what that was too. On me.
Apparently, the speed trailer is a big red flag to not speed. But we only have one. But it doesn't. But when you use the data from it, people say that it's flawed because they can see the trailer. I don't know. So we have to have.
Be damned if you do a dim.
Sneakier ways to obtain speeds there. Got any ideas, Chief?
Beer Lodge put in just a sign that shows your speed. They have little solar things on them, and that helps. I mean,
there's some in Helena.
Yeah, they're invented by like Carroll College.
One of them on
Jefferson
School on either side of Main Street, and yeah, substantially decreases, like people are like, oh, there's a sign flashing. It just gets your attention. It's got a little light, and everyone came to the city complaining that we were taking pictures. Like, there's no camera there, it's just the light. But a lot of people think that, and that's just fine if they slow down.
That may be something if we deem some intersections to actually have problems, we could look at it in the budget. They're not cheap, but they're not super expensive.
Although the thing works, it does. These signs will be permanent.
Nothing slows you down by being told you're going fast. Or you can't just be told by that speedometer. You got to tell by a separate sign.
Flashes the flashing.
Right. Oh yeah, it barks at you. So you're going too fast or whatever. One of Jefferson, you got to be doing under 17, even though it says 15, or this barks at you. You go by it every day.
Well, I move that we pay the bills.
I have a motion to pay the bills, which seems a little out of scope for you, but I'm going to let you do it.
I'll second.
In a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
That being said, I'm going to adjourn this meeting at 7:36. Thank you, guys.
I pay the bills.
I saw you have a thank you, Amy. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
write up on the star David windows.
Yeah, did you want to give her the one that we have here?
Yeah,
sure, that'd be perfect. And then if I could maybe, oh, that's awesome. Thank you. Wondering if maybe Monday morning, like 10 p.m.
I don't know if we want to blow them out.
I don't have a date. Heaven's guys.
Let's wait on that. You can use the pictures that are in there. But like, I don't know that we want to like roll them out of where they're at yet. So like fragile.
I
get super nervous about it. Kevin probably like it's fine.
I have.
Well, you know, they should have been repaired. Good enough to withstand.
I don't have a way to give you the right number yet. I'm going to kind of finish the number. I'm not going to put a number there, but I have a good number.
Yeah. Well, and I'm interested in waiting for a good number.
Yeah.
Just 1 month from the other
one. I just don't always leave.
I'm not really a fan of underbidding at all.
I think you didn't hurt it whatever you want. I don't think they'd be fat or not.
I know, I don't think they will either.
They're still paying a great deal for their car wash.
I do appreciate it. Right, council knocking out of an hour and 15 minutes.
Right?
We don't have any 3-hour meetings I sit through or watch.
Is it like that in Townsend? Is it long?
Well, depends on what the subject is.
Sure.
There's a lot going on right now, especially with the new water system improvements and the updating there. So that's led to some.